Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another Mornings with the Masters. We devote ourselves to the Lord daily with you. We are picking up with day four of our Experiencing Friendship with God devotional in the Bible app. There's a link to that in the description if you guys want to follow along with us. And as always, I'm going to read the scripture, then I'm also going to pick with the Devo. The scripture is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and they say this, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." And the devotional is titled, "Friendship Over Perfection." And it says this, "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, are all attributes that we strive for. We try to conjure these things up through our own goodwill and our own self-discipline. Yet, according to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, it is the Holy Spirit's work to create this fruit, while it is our work to live step by step with Him." Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." True spiritual transformation begins with authentic friendship. It's not about becoming or achieving. It's about being with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again. It's not about becoming, and it's not about achieving. It's about being with the Holy Spirit. As the friendship gets richer, you start to know Him beyond His approval or disapproval. You start to understand His heart. You know what grieves Him and what quenches Him. You begin to grasp His perspective and see things from His point of view. Your desire to change is no longer a fruit of obligation or shame, but rather of love. You do not have to strive for the ultimate picture of perfection. Instead, you can focus on stewarding this very moment with God. And after this very moment passes, guess what? You focus on the next moment with God. At every decision, you heed His counsel. During every loss, you mourn with the ever-present helper. When you fail, you repent and trust the advocate. Every moment is an opportunity for an interaction of some sort because He is available, accessible, and kind. You do not have to consider everything you must do, but rather focus on what He is leading you to do right now. Even when a task feels impossible to accomplish, you breathe and petition Him for supernatural strength. The accumulation of these moments produces the fruit of the Spirit. As you take in moment to moment and step by step, He will build your character and shape your heart. Then there's a few questions that say this. In what ways have you been looking at the Christian life as a crusade of personal achievement? Oh, and how would it change things to instead look at spiritual transformation as a consequence, as living in a relationship with God? Yeah, and I love this whole devotional. I feel like we could just listen to it again and again and again. And there's a few things I guess I just want to highlight quickly because I'm experiencing this at the same time you all are. And one of those first notes was that as the friendship gets richer, you start to know Him beyond His approval or disapproval. And I just wonder how many of us are stuck at that point where we know what God approves of, so we try to do that. And we know what God disapproves of, so we try not to do that. And that's it. But there's no connection deeper. There's nothing that embraces that we know what grieves His heart. Like, God, break our hearts for what breaks His heart, you know? Or God, cast my eyes on what brings You joy and help me have joy for those things. Help me have Your perspective. Help me see things the way You see things. You know what I mean by that? And I just, it's like, think about it. Literally, when you spend time with a friend every day or every week or every month, you get to know them better. You eat together. You learn what foods they like, what they don't like. You learn how they like to communicate. You know what they like to do for fun. You know what's been bothering them. You know what grieves their heart. And the same thing should be with God. But what happens is slowly but surely, during this Christian walk that we're on, we have this disillusioned belief of the perfect or ideal Christian life, where I need to be married by this age, I need to have kids by this age, I need this type of house, I need to be ministering to this many people, I need to be excelling in everything. And if it's not happening, well, where's God? And then also, if it's not happening, you try to force it to happen, so you're not walking in peace. And by the way, I'm talking to myself. Can I just tell you that? I'm giving myself a little pump-up talk right now, where I force my own will because I think I'm supposed to have it this way. I'm supposed to be this good of a parent. I'm supposed to provide this much for my family. I'm supposed to do this, right? I'm a Christian, right? This is what I signed up for. But it's almost like a disillusioned point of view where instead, if I understand that God approves of those things and I have a fond desire for them, but instead I just focus on dedicating every moment to him. By the way, there's a great book I'll put in the description called Every Moment Holy. I'll see every situation as a chance to honor him versus instead what happens is I'm trying to honor him with my time and then I get interrupted and that moment becomes not holy. And then I start to do what I did yesterday, which is I grumble and I get bitter. I get mad. I get frustrated. And then I'm at war with God. God is doing something and I'm saying, no, I'm supposed to do this. This is the Christian life, God. Isn't this what you wanted me to do? That's what I'm saying. And God's like, no, I want you to embrace this quote unquote interruption and bring my light into the situation where you're needed right now. Every moment is holy when you bring me into it, Chad, is what he says. And so I think that this is a great chance for all of us to think about that ideal Christian life that so many of us want, which I'm not hating on, but is it becoming an idol? Are we making an ideal life an idolized life? I think that's what we have to be careful of. Are we missing opportunities to experience God and have friendship with God because we're getting annoyed that things aren't going our way for the life that we want because we're avoiding the life he has for us right now? Okay, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you for a wonderful revelation. God, thank you for how much you love us. Help us to receive this message and not carry any shame or guilt or condemnation from this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, God. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can receive this with thanksgiving and gladness and joy because we know you're going to do something new in us. You're correcting us. You're helping us repent of the wrong ways we've been living. You're correcting us in the wrong ideals that we've had, or maybe the skewed ideals or the ideals have become idols, Lord. God, just thank you for being you. Thank you for how gentle you are with us. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to lean into that friendship with you. That way we get to know your heart better. We get to know what grieves you. We get to know what brings you joy. And we get to walk step in step with you. That way we can be easily redirected if you want us to pivot in a new direction for a new purpose, God. We love you and worship you in your son's heavenly name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Now is that perfect time, so I'm at to break out the worship music, break out the journal, and continue pressing to the Lord. Don't forget that you are God's masterpiece, and don't forget that we love you. We love you, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow. Till teens.